WRIF-HD2 Detroit.
Video games.
Yes, you can!
Comic books.
Nothing is impossible!
Sci-fi.
Just
anime.
Do it!
If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
What are you waiting for?
This is Nerd Radio.
Make your dreams come true!
On Rift 2.
Welcome to Nerd Radio on Rift 2. It is Wednesday night, 10 p.m., at least when you're listening to this. And it is Chuck Bean hanging out in the studio. Jefferson will be in a little while, and we are coming off a hell of a weekend. I got Al Beck in the studio with me, and our buddy, Mr. Mike P., hanging out as well. And both of you guys went over the weekend and saw the big movie.
Yes.
Which was part of the big news was, of course, the Nintendo Switch and Logan.
Yes.
Came out this week. And
Biggest opening weekend of 2017 so far.
Yeah.
I saw.
And another rated R comic book movie that opened to, I want to say, I read it was like 85 point something million.
Yeah, around 85 million they made.
And as of Sunday.
And an additional 150 million overseas, so...
Yeah.
Pretty good weekend for a rated R movie coming out.
Yeah, absolutely. Which,
I didn't see like the numbers, like the actual tally of how much they made, but I did see like the records that it was, like I said, the biggest opening weekend so far of the year.
Yep.
And I think like Mike pointed out, you know, the fact that it was a big earner for a rated R movie. I think it said like the fifth all time highest R rated film.
Right. Like yeah. It didn't top Deadpool.
No.
Did well.
Yes, it did. It absolutely did.
Which, like I was saying, proves that there is definitely an appetite, a market for this type of movie. As we said last year when Deadpool happened, hopefully we don't get a whole lot of really bad ones that are rated R just because. But it is nice when you get...
On that topic, have we all seen the Deadpool 2 trailer with him in the phone booth?
Oh. Yes, we did. Yeah, I saw that. Online. I have not been to the theater to see Logan yet, but I saw that online and that was masterful and fantastic.
Yeah.
And there's a Logan like poster on the wall in the background, like a movie poster.
And I love the fact that obviously it's a parody of Superman.
Yes.
But gone way wrong. And I love the fact that they're playing the Superman theme.
Yeah, while he's in the
while he's struggling. Yeah. And the whole time, so can anyone hear me? Well, I got to see that leading into, that was the last trailer before Logan started.
Which is great.
Yeah.
It's great that they put that. When I saw it online, I'm like, I hope that's at the front of Logan, because that would be a missed opportunity if it's not.
Yeah, they've changed it up a lot, too. I didn't see it when I saw it in theaters. The Stan Lee cameo wasn't in mine. So when I rewatched it and I saw the Stan Lee, I thought that was the best part. I was like, nice costume. Shut up, Stan. That was
Right. Do either of you guys, do you remember what the other song, like there's the song he's listening to as a headphones, and then when he goes running, it
Which one? I can't remember, but it was one of the ones from...
It's some kind of goofy 80s...
It was one of the ones from the original movie, which was...
Was
kind
it
of,
okay?
Yeah, from the original movie. The first movie from a couple years ago.
The first Deadpool.
The original movie.
Yeah.
It might have been Wham. It sounded like... Was it Wham?
I don't remember. I'll look it up while we're talking.
Whatever song is playing in that opening sequence when they got the opening credits from the first movie, it's like frozen... Yeah.
I think that's it.
Morning Angel. That one.
Well, it wasn't Angel of the Morning, though.
I could have sworn it was.
It was not. No, it was not.
The only other song I recognized was the True Romance theme from that movie True Romance.
That might be what I'm thinking of.
That at the end, when he's laying on the dead body, they start playing the song from True Romance, and I thought that was a great reference right
there. I could swear it was Morning Angel. I mean, I'm going to add the disclaimer that my memory issues are well documented on Nerd Radio. So you cannot trust a damn word that comes out of my mouth.
Don't argue what something was and try to remember it.
People aren't even sure that Chuck is his name because I keep calling him Chuck. That can't be accurate. So that's the disclaimer, but I'm pretty sure it was Morning Angel in the earbuds.
Whatever.
He's looking it up. And
I'm looking it up. So let's talk about Logan, though. Both of you guys went and saw it. Give me your thoughts. What did you... We'll start with you, Al.
We'll start with me. It's definitely rated R. It is very gory, and Chuck is still feverishly trying to prove me wrong on his laptop right now. No, I know you're listening. You're good at multitasking. I want the listeners to know that while we're talking about the movie, he is trying to prove me wrong. It's not even the lack of eye contact. It's that you want me to be wrong on the show.
No, I don't.
Again.
I don't.
Anyway, so it was a delightful film. No, it is not one that I think children should go to. It is way too violent for that.
Which is cool to hear. Because like the last time they did a Wolverine video game, they went real hard with the violence.
The
like he was just, yeah.
yeah.
First crappy
and that was great.
Movie. The video game was great. Movie bad. That's usually the other way around.
Right.
How that works.
Right.
Yeah. And the fact that there was foul language, only really backfired for me. There was a few times I'm like, you're swearing because it's rated R. Like, we don't really need that here. I'm not offended by bad language at all.
Right.
The only time in the movie.
That's why we have DMX.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. He makes his most frequent appearances during my segments,
it's
I believe.
True.
The only time the R-rated language bothered me was...
Go ahead.
No. Go ahead and tell me I'm wrong.
Say No Most Fire.
Wow.
Shut up! You! I've had enough to hear with your bullshit.
Yeah. It was Say No Most Fire. I heard him hearing in the headphones. I'm like, man, I know that. And then it pots up when he starts running in slow motion. And that's where it hits the...
Speaking of DMX, pretty well timed, I must say.
I'm very, having not seen it yet, I am so pumped that everybody is comparing it to Clint Eastwood's Unforgiven. Which is what, when Mark Millar...
I like that comparison.
When Mark Millar wrote Old Man Logan, I remember him saying, this is Marvel Comics Unforgiven with Wolverine.
I was getting to my one actual complaint, and I'm going to get that out of the way real quick.
Yeah.
Okay, so this isn't super spoilery, but it's sort of. But so Professor Xavier is in it, and he has a degenerative mental, like neuro disease, like an Alzheimer's or a dementia type of thing going on. It's actually he's got like a form of epilepsy. And so like you can explain my issue away with the fact that he has a disease, a degenerative disease.
Okay.
But in referring to Caliban, who is in this movie played by Stephen Merchant, which is pretty cool.
Cooler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He refers to Caliban as that effing albino, and it just rubbed me the wrong way. Because, again, the phrase didn't bother. It's the fact that Xavier would never say that. He would never refer to somebody that way.
I don't know, man. I think
the way they made him seem, it's just like they kind of hint at what happened with the X-Men, and it kind of like put that on Xavier, like it's Xavier's fault.
Okay.
So now you're kind of seeing him being bitter.
Yeah.
And I think that's what they were going for, is that him and Logan were just bitter two guys who, like, hey, I was this nice guy, and you were like,
and it all turned out wrong.
And we all roads. They were both on separate roads, but they both ended up at the same place in their lives.
Yeah, well,
that's the thing I thought.
I agree with that, and he was definitely like a shell of the a phenomenal performance, particularly by the two,
Patrick Stewart
and Hugh Jackman. But I really like Mike's explanation of that. That would really be like introspective, though. Like,
yeah,
you know, he is definitely a shell of himself from the first movie, but he would not refer to somebody.
It does feel out of character for a Charles Xavier to use that kind of slur.
But it didn't even really bother me. Like, it still felt weird hearing Xavier. It wasn't the only F-bomb that he dropped.
Oh no,
and it was a little uncomfortable hearing
Patrick
Xavier.
Stewart.
No, not Patrick Stewart.
I was
Xavier.
Say, do you ever see him on what was that, Extras show?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's brilliant. If you have not seen the Ricky Gervais Extras show, it's well worth it. If you find it online and buy the DVDs, it's worth it. I love it. I love that show.
Maybe the theme there is that everybody turns into your racist uncle. Even Professor Xavier.
But does it make sense to you why that bothered me? So like,
I get it.
The other F-bombs that Stewart drops, again, it felt a little uncomfortable because It is like this fatherly figure.
Captain Picard is saying, I swear.
Right, yeah. But I don't know. That one phrase in particular is like, I wish they wouldn't. That made a better choice than that.
Yeah.
That's the only thing in the movie that I can actually sit here and say, I did not like that.
Yeah. Otherwise, you were.
I've been talking a lot, so let's let Mike have a turn.
Sure. What did you think of it, Mike?
I mean, I have like my minimal complaints. They're a little bit more spoilers, so I won't really go into them.
These segments are always very spoiler heavy.
Okay, well,
we're gonna put the disclaimer out there right now.
Yeah, we try and put that up front. You know.
All right, I just want to make sure.
Well, up to now in the segment, we haven't spoiled anything really. So starting now, if you have not seen this movie,
you're gonna want to go about 10 minutes into the future this show.
I really was not a fan of X-24. They bring in this farm sequence was great. You see this whole family get killed, just like in the comics. And like I said last time, I like it when they don't completely rip off the pages, but they take the main theme, like, because that's what happened in the comics. The Hogan Hillbillies killed his family, if I'm correct.
In the comics.
Okay. And in this one, they have a clone version of a younger Logan kill this whole family and Patrick Stewart off.
Oh, goodness.
And it's brutal. Like, they kill the kids, man. And it's
really
brutal. But I was thinking, I'm like, I get the theme, older version against his younger self.
Sure.
But I'd rather it would have been either kind of, this would have been fanboyish, but either Dakin, or I kind of wanted to see Liev Schreiber show back up as Sabretooth. I think that would have really tied it
that
all
in. That either one of those would have been great.
And but that was, they don't even explain why he's so loyal to this father who's, I'm pretty sure they hinted at Stryker's older brother or something in a movie. But
would have been good even to just like give him the mohawk.
Yeah.
Dakin mohawk.
And it's really sad the way they kill off Patrick Stewart, because Patrick Stewart in this, he's laying on this bed and he's going through his dementia. He's kind of hallucinating, but he's like telling Logan, he's like, this was the greatest night I've had in years, just being a family. We were just happy.
Well, to set the scene for Chuck hasn't seen it.
And it's not Logan.
So, yeah, they help this family on the side of a highway.
Okay.
And so they invite them back to their home for a meal and a bed. And, you know, Logan doesn't want to go, but, you know, Xavier's like, we need to stop. We need to eat. Let's do this. And so it's Logan, it's Xavier, and it's X-23 all together.
Being a family. And kind of showing this girl some peace and happiness, all making jokes, making references.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, we have not heard X-23 speak. So at this point, we haven't even heard X-23 speak yet. The only communication at all has been, you know, Xavier, who doesn't have his powers to the level that, you know, we're all familiar with. So it's minimal communication just between those two. And so they stay with the family. Logan goes with the father to, you know, fix up a pump station.
Okay.
And so in the morning, as Logan and the father have not come back yet, but the door opens and it's, you know, a silhouette. It's clearly Logan.
Right.
Comes up to Xavier and he talks about like, oh, you know, like X-23 is sleeping on the floor. He's in the bed and Logan's standing over him and they have this conversation that
really
Mike was talking about.
Yeah.
And he's been kept in this like tank to help people not find him for a while.
Okay.
And so now he slept in a bed. It's like almost a family atmosphere. He's out. He did good. He helped this family wrangle up some horses that got escaped from their trailer. And so he's having this like, oh, like I forgot life can be good. And he's appreciating that. And then, you know, Logan just kind of leans over. Well, X-24 leans over.
And yeah, it kind of did throw me off, like, for a bit. First time you see it for, like, a quick second, I'm like, oh, that's Sabretooth. And then it's just, I'm like, I see the clone and stab him. And you thought it was a dream, too, the way they shot it. And then the crappy thing, though, is you don't know if Patrick Stewart at Professor X, whether he knows that was a clone Logan when he goes off to die, or if he thinks that was actually Logan just killing him. And I thought that was kind of weird, like because he's not mentally there.
Yeah,
he doesn't know if that's really.
I think in the end he did know, because Logan. I think Logan gets upstairs to
him. He carries
before
him
he dies. But
that would have been sad. So he's got to deal with thinking that though too. That's just me overthinking that whole scene. I was blown away by it. Like I said, I said man tears on my Facebook page. I'm like, man tears for days. Judge me all you want. This movie, just there's a couple of times.
Awesome. Awesome. So yeah, like this is not really like we were talking about Deadpool earlier. Deadpool was a funny movie. This is a drama.
It's heavy. Drama. It's dark. It is a dark movie. I did not cry. But I'm also, I'm not trying to act like I'm a big man over here. Like, you cried and I didn't. Marley and me, I cried like a little bitch.
Okay. So, oh, it's a dog.
Yeah, for sure.
How are you not going to cry to a dog?
I have cried at a movie and I'm admitting that on the air to... First of all, the fact that I even saw that stupid movie.
Yeah, no, I saw the trailer for that movie, and I was like, no, I don't need to do that.
I knew what was about to happen. I was like, nope, I'm ending the movie here. No, don't look at me.
I'm impressed. I was just looking up here while we were talking. I'm impressed with the amount of kind of characters they snuck in to this movie. Like you guys said, Caliban was in this movie. Never saw him in a trailer. Had no idea until you mentioned it. Like, that's awesome.
I didn't even recognize him as Stephen Merchant at first.
Yeah.
My buddy Dave that I go to. Yeah. Well, as we've mentioned on the show before, my Dave and Melissa are my friends that I go to every superhero movie with. And partway through this movie, I was like, yeah, Melissa's not having a good time, I'll bet. Because it was like a little violent past her threshold. And like, yeah, when the credits were rolling and Dave and Melissa, they're a married couple. And first thing out of her mouth while the credits were rolling, she turned to Dave and goes, "You owe me Beauty and the Beast after this."
Oh.
That's funny.
That's how you get your back.
She will never watch it again.
You got the Caliban, you got the Reavers, even the head of the project that's leading the Reavers, Xander Rice, he's listed as here. That's the creator of X-23 in the comics, too.
Oh, cool.
Which is fantastic. I see that Richter makes an appearance in this movie. And some of the other, like, mutants towards the end. That's neat.
The mutants towards the end, they get one of the villains in the most... I'm not, like, it's so violent how one of these guys go out.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, it's brutal. Like, I'm glad James Mangold got his second chance at doing a Wolverine movie, and the studio finally... Because, like, I complained about the Wolverine. They made the samurai, like, 20 feet tall.
Yeah.
And then this one, they fixed that, finally. Yeah. They did that small. Well,
that's the on the other end, I'm looking through, like, the Wikipedia page. I am happy to see that the end tag at the end of Apocalypse, the Mr. Sinister, has nothing to do with this movie at all.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think I've complained to you before. I don't know if I've said it on the show publicly, but like, there's two villains in my whole time reading X-Men that whenever they show up, I'm just like, this is going to suck.
Yeah.
And it's Apocalypse and Sinister.
All in all, though, I will say that, I mean, I give it a thumbs up. It did. There were times that it was violent for the sake of being violent.
Yeah.
Which doesn't really bug me, but sometimes it does. Because sometimes it can take away from the story a little bit, I think.
Sure.
And there were a few times where it was like, hey, remember? The movies are. Remember? Yeah. Because we're going to decapitate this guy, and it's not the first decapitation in this movie. There are multiple decapitations.
Oh, when X-23, the first time they go to try and find her, you hear a couple guys screaming in the building. Yeah. She just walks out and rolls a guy's head down and drops her book
she
bag.
She is a badass.
Yeah.
X-23... is a monster badass in this movie.
Her death stare.
She does, and she has, like, so she doesn't even talk for like 3/4 of the movie.
And she's like, what, 11?
Yeah. Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, the actress is like 11. This is her first movie.
Oh, geez.
So, and she did great. It's pretty much nothing but feral screams that can rival that of Hugh Jackman's.
Nice.
You know, except it's an 11-year-old girl. It's almost scarier.
Yeah.
And that's all she knows is, like, she's bred to kill. So she's super insane. And even when she finally starts talking, like, even her speech is laconic in nature. It's just
very
short
fast
and biting and to the point.
And then she screams daddy, and it gets very emotional when you see a little girl getting pulled away screaming daddy, and you see Wolverine just getting more jacked up by that.
Right.
That was some of my favorite, because that's so Last of Us. I was glad that they incorporated it, because that was something Hugh Jackman said he wanted to go for.
Right.
Was trying to nail the Last of Us relate daughter-father relationship from that video game.
Yeah. So when does Red Skull show up? No?
Red Skull?
Yeah. Or Blind Hawkeye? He's in this, right?
No.
The Venom dinosaurs?
The Venom dinosaurs?
Oh, that's all stuff from Old Man Logan.
Oh, no.
Damn it.
No spider boogie. I was hoping for maybe a Spider-Man boogie.
I still haven't read Old Man Logan yet.
No?
No, I got the...
It's worth it.
That's why I didn't... what you were just asking me didn't make any sense. And you were looking right at me, and I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? You know what? I had bought that a while ago. I still have a backlog of trades that we've talked about.
Sure.
But you know what? You and I were talking. I think you would recommend it to somebody at the store.
Yep.
You said, you know what?
See the movie first.
See the movie first. If you read it, it might ruin the movie for you.
Like, yeah, if you went and saw the movie after reading the book, you're like, oh, it didn't have like half the characters from the book.
So I had intended, I just never got around to it. And then after you said that, it's like, you know what? Chuck knows his comic book, so I'm going to take his advice. So I specifically did not read it leading into it. So
thumbs up. Good job.
Now I need to get to it and read it, especially because you know how I love Mark Millar. Yeah. Love Mark Millar.
Yeah,
so
no,
it's the fact that I haven't read it already is already like
it, see, not, well, now you have nothing holding you back.
Yeah, so
now it's worth it.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts, Mike?
No, I mean, I definitely give this movie a thumbs up.
Yeah.
I'm very intrigued to see where they go now with Wolverine, the character. I kind of hope they, I don't know if they're going to recast him, but if not, I kind of want them to just leave this character alone for a while, maybe give it a couple years.
Well, that's,
wait for X-23 to grow up, too. I want this actress to kind
of play. That's a lot of where we're going now with the movies. That's why you look at the Marvel comics. That's why we've got Ironheart, and we've got Falcon with the shield as Captain America and stuff like that, because a lot of these guys, like Chris Evans and Robert Downey Jr., are going like, yeah, I've only got one or two more of these left in me, really. And they're going to have to recast them. So
Right.
And that's two things that I'd heard already, is that Hugh Jackman had said he's done with Wolverine unless you can put him in an Avengers movie. And Patrick Stewart has said he's done as Xavier unless you want him back for Deadpool, because he really liked dropping F-bombs.
Oh. No, I thought it was, it's the end of Logan. It's not a secret that, you know, he dies at the end, and it's, you know.
I liked what she did with the cross, though. That was the nice little tip.
We're going to even leave that for Chuck to see on his own.
Okay.
We're leaving it at that as a teaser.
All right.
What she does with the cross at the end is, it is a moment that I did not cry, but it definitely tugs at the heartstrings a little bit.
Sure.
And a lot of it has to do with, you know, over the last 17 years, this man played one of our one of the most famous and our most beloved X-Men characters. And he did such a great job, you know, even though he was too tall.
Yeah, I remember when he first got cast, like, he is too tall, and he's Australian, and this is going to be a disaster. And he did a great job.
He did a great job. And so, I don't know, we got back to my friend's basement bar afterwards, and then we did a toast to Logan, and a perfect just seven. And I was thinking about it. There's 9 X-Men movies. Hugh Jackman is in 8 of them, if I'm not mistaken.
He's been in every one.
I think he's in every single one of them.
I don't remember him being in First Class, is he?
Yeah, he was at the bar with Patrick Stewart.
One scene.
Yeah. And then Apocalypse is the little cameo, too.
Yeah,
is
that the Weapon X cameo.
Yes.
Yeah, but he's sitting at the bar. They come up like, hey, we got it. And he tells him, go F off. He tells Magneto.
I forgot about that. So I was impressed that he was in 8 of the 9. Yeah. So it turns out 9 out of 9.
He's a major player in at least 8 of those movies.
Yeah.
Do you guys know how he got the role, though? Like, he was an unknown actor, but Russell Crowe turned down Fox. He's like, he's like, it's too much like Gladiator. So he's like, but I know a guy. Great actor. Should hit up my friend Hugh.
Right.
They called up Hugh Jackman.
Nice.
So that's how he got the role.
A little bit of trivia for you. Hey, you're on Nerd Radio Riff 2.
I'm trying to play, right now I'm trying to place Russell Crowe in that role.
Yeah.
I love Gladiator, so like my initial reaction was, but then I was like, I do love Gladiator.
Are you
He could have done it.
Are you not entertained, bub?
Are you not entertained?
Well, thanks for coming in, Mike.
No problem.
We're going to get the show rolling here. I'll get Jefferson in here, and then Al will come back, and we'll talk some comic books later on in the show. But you are listening to Nerd Radio on Riff 2. Sounds like myself, as well as anybody else who hasn't seen it, needs to go see Logan. So we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Christopher Sabat. I'm the voice of Vegeta and others, and you're listening to Nerd Radio on Riff 2.
Thanks for tuning in to Riff 2. You are listening to Nerd Radio on Riff 2. Right now, it's your hosts, Jefferson Moore and Chuck Bean.
Auditioning for sexy midnight radio DJ voice.
No, I thought it was, that's a different voice. that was ASMR. ASMR.
That's your ASMR voice.
Yeah, what does that stand for?
The
as softly microphone recording. That's probably it.
That noise there is my ASMR voice.
Yeah, right there. Perfect. Let's see if you can get a job with that.
That's my ASMR voice.
Yeah, this is Nerd Radio on Riff 2. Thanks for tuning in.
Hey, how's it going?
This is Soft Sounds by Nerd Radio. what's going on? You guys can get a hold of us on Facebook at Riff2Nerds, at facebook.com. Yeah.
Yeah, and Twitter.
Yeah, absolutely.
Riff2Nerds. Make sure you follow us on the tweet machine.
So this is an exciting time to be a nerd, I would say.
This past weekend. Yeah. Holy crap.
Yeah, anytime a new console drops, like, there are nerds all over the place that are just fanning themselves because it's
let me tell you, all of them are on my Twitter.
All of them? Yeah.
All of them.
For sure, yeah.
Ever since last, let's see, this airs. Ever since last Thursday, my Twitter is nothing but fan art and reviews and people flipping out over the new Legend of Zelda.
I mean, you
would think that that is the only thing that happened last weekend.
Yeah. That kind of changes based on who you follow. And nerds, that means your Twitter feed's going to be mostly full of nerd stuff.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Which, I mean, I can't say anything different because that's what mine's looking like right now.
Right. Not to be outdone, but Logan.
Yeah.
This past weekend, too. Also opening to some of the best reviews I've seen for a comic book movie. You know, quick aside, we can talk about, you know, Switch, Zelda, all that stuff. But quick aside, I don't know about you, but I'm super torn because Suicide Squad got an Oscar.
For best makeup, right? Yeah.
Right. And I should be really excited because a comic book movie got an Oscar.
For sure.
And that's awesome. But it got an Oscar for best makeup in the same category as Star Trek Beyond.
Where everyone had fantastic makeup.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a little it's a little odd. Although I think they did a great job on Killer Croc, to be honest.
He was neat. I have a hard time because I was not a huge fan of that movie in the first place.
Right.
So I'm trying to separate myself from that innate haterade.
Mm-hmm.
That I was drinking.
Just put down your haterade, man. Just put it down.
Drinking
no
for
one
that
wants to
movie.
Hear the hate and the raids. It's just too much haterade. Put it away. Haterade me, bitch. Sorry, I had to do it.
So yeah,
had to do it.
The Switch, and then there was the game you were talking about. Was it Horizon?
Well, no. Let's talk a little bit more about the Academy Awards because I did not see them.
Yeah.
I know it's some kind of strategy because I mean, as someone who loves movies, I should be all over it. But I was doing stuff during the Academy Awards, and I couldn't.
It's award shows. I mean, really. Unless you're the one winning the award.
Yeah.
I don't fall into... I know as a teenager...
We actually got to get Lynn on at this point. Because that's one... Like, Lynn...
Yeah,
she's
all... Yeah, she's... She's hit me up on Facebook Messenger before when I've been here. Hey, can you... This show is coming up. Can you put it on the DVR so I can watch it when I'm here on overnights or something like that? But...
Let's give her a little shout out. She's on air.
Host Local Lowdown.
Local Lowdown every Tuesday night at 10 p.m.
That's right. It's cool
stuff.
So
check out that. It's all local stuff, and it's a great show. So you guys should check it out.
As somebody who used to be in a local band, I know I always wanted to be on the radio.
Yeah.
So
she's making dreams come true.
She is.
Yeah.
It's great stuff. But even as a teenager, I would watch like the MTV Music Video Awards or something like that. If they had bands on that I liked. And then after a couple of years, it was just like, I feel about award shows the same way I feel about most like major sporting events. Like I can catch the highlights later.
Right.
I don't have to sit through the whole show. I can wait for the highlights later.
Uh-huh.
And that's kind of what happened with the Academy Awards. Like I had to work the overnight on Monday morning, Academy Night Awards are on Sunday night. I'm like, I'll find out what happened
I'll figure it out. Yeah.
While I'm awake at 2 a.m. being on the radio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Academy Awards, was there any other highlights that you wanted to point out?
No, that was about it. I did see the performance of the girl that did the movie with the Rock, the Disney movie Moana.
Yeah, Moana, right?
Yep. Yeah. And it was very, very, very nice. Very pretty song. And The Rock was very funny.
Yeah, he
presenting
always is.
For it. Yeah, he
love that man.
He's just come to expect it at this point.
He's a real down to earth guy.
He certainly seems that way.
Down to rock, if you will.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
To bed rock.
That didn't work.
It would be very disappointing to meet him and find out that he is not that guy.
No, but from what I've heard, he's
like Dave Grohl. Like, you don't hear a whole lot of bad stories about people who meet The Rock. He's just like kind of cool.
He's a cool dude.
So yeah, this is actually, speaking of the Switch, this is kind of a weird thing for me. I'm going to do the thing you hate the
most. Switch right there, yeah.
I'm going to do the thing you hate the most and break the fourth wall. You were listening to this at the very earliest on Wednesday. We were recording this the Thursday before. Yeah. So I have not actually, like, I know my buddy Tim got a Switch, you know, last weekend.
For sure.
I, as we speak right now, have not played it yet.
But by the time you listen to,
I will. And the next time me and you sit down, I will tell you all about what I saw, all the cool things I saw.
I'm excited. And also, as you mentioned that, and you also mentioned Zero Horizon Dawn.
Yeah.
You know what? The reviews about that game are way too high for me not to get it and give you guys a review on it.
I'm sure.
So I'm going to have to shell over the $60. And by the time...
I feel like... Because the reviews for Zero Horizon Dawn are high. They're like you were saying before we started talking. They're like 9 out of 10 or 92%.
Yeah, like 88.
The only mistake I can see so far is they put it out in the same week as that Zelda game.
Zelda game,
for every like 93% it's getting, Zelda's getting 100.
Yeah.
For every 4 stars, it's like, I was looking through my Twitter feed and there was this graphic that was like, I don't know, like 25 different sites and whatever, all with just like perfect reviews.
I mean, like, to be fair, they're different systems and they're targeting slightly different audiences, but
it's true.
It's still the same opening weekend. But like, doesn't matter. People could buy this or that. They have $60 to spend on a game. Right. They can spend it on either one, and by next week, it's going to be old news. So
yeah, and that's the other Switch news. I don't know if you saw, but they coated the little cartridges that are about the size of like a PS Vita cartridge. Mm-hmm. They coated the things in a particular chemical so that they taste bitter, so that children won't eat the cartridges. So that once again, like, my Twitter feed for the last 3 or 4 days has been a bunch of people who got the cartridges early and are like tasting them and going, oh god,
really?
So like, it's this new thing that like everybody...
Oh yeah, they have cartridges now, don't they?
Yeah,
for the Switch,
little tiny cartridges.
That's interesting. Yeah,
but everybody needs, you know, everybody that's near a Switch cartridge is going to be tasting it.
Well,
find out that tastes terrible. I need to know exactly what that flavor is.
Yeah, I think my buddy who wants me to get For Honor is going to kill me, though, because like, as this is going on, he's like, I really want you to get For Honor.
Yeah, and you're
but
like,
I can either spend it on that
or
this game that I've been kind of excited for a while now.
Right.
And I'm sorry, sweetie. Don't take it out on me.
You get to it.
I'll still go over to your house and play it, though, for sure, but I'm sorry.
I'm excited a couple weeks from now is the new Mass Effect.
Yeah, oh my gosh, that's gonna be super exciting. Yeah.
That's my next, you know, gotta play it, gotta have it.
There's so many open world games coming out now, though.
I know, and that's the thing I think we talked about maybe a week or two ago, is the fact that...
everything's open world now. That's what people want, though.
Everything's got to be 60-plus hours. And
if
everyone's putting out long-ass games... There's only so many hours in a week, man.
Yeah.
And hopefully you're spending at least one of them listening to Nerd Radio on Rift 2.
That's right. Well, you can listen to it while you're playing games.
Playing an open world game.
Yeah,
I've done that. I've listened to, I've edited the show sometimes, listening back to us while I'm playing some open world, some Saints Row or something.
Yeah, absolutely.
So.
Is there a Saints Row game coming out again?
No, not that I'm aware.
Yeah.
Not that I'm aware. Like we talked about last week.
Yeah,
like
Saints Row 4 was actually pretty recent too now. So.
Yeah, well, they did Saints Row 4.
Recent as far as...
They did Get Out of Hell, which is a little bit smaller, but, you know, is kind of like an expansion, kind of standalone expansion.
Yeah.
And I don't know. The last thing I think I remember hearing was that this studio that had put together Saints Row had kind of separated.
Oh, yeah.
And had gone, everybody kind of gone their separate ways, so...
Yeah.
We'll see. Sometimes it works out. Sometimes it's like when a band separates, but then all of a sudden they each do solo work or something like that. And if the, you know, their writing style is strong, then it's like you getting your favorite band two or three times instead of just the one.
Yeah, it
when
could
they're
be.
All together. So, you know.
That's the best case scenario.
Yeah.
I guess the worst case is kind of what happened to Rational Games, but.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Yeah. I mean, Ken Levine's still around. He's still making games, but.
Yeah.
I made myself sad.
Oh,
no,
I'm so sorry.
That actually kind of brings me to a new thing, and it's unfortunately something I haven't heard a lot about. You know, maybe I shouldn't talk about this because I don't actually know too much about it, but there was a game that I've heard things about that, like,
you heard some rumblings.
I heard some rumblings in
rumors?
The air. Yeah, a little some rumbling rumors, you know. And it caused my ears to perk up a little bit.
I think I know why.
Why is that?
Because of who's making it.
Yeah. It's a game called Prey.
Yeah.
And it's Bethesda and also Arkane, which Arkane makes Dishonored, which I really like the games that they've made. And I think a lot of people do as well. So, like, they're picking up, which is great because that means I get to see more of the games that I like to know how to play. So, it's pretty cool. It's Prey. I haven't heard too much about the franchise before, but apparently they've released a couple of games under this name.
They released one other game.
Yeah.
And it was on the 360.
Okay.
And they were supposed to release it. First of all, from what I understand, they released the game on the 360, and that game had been in development since like 95.
Oh, shoot.
So well before the 360 was even a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But this game here, this isn't a sequel.
This is more of like it was like Prey, and then Prey 2 was supposed to be released in, I think, 2014, but it got canceled.
Right, instead of releasing a sequel, they just kind of reimagined the first one.
Right. Which, all right. But this game, I kind of get a lot of different vibes. Like, it's like it gets inspirations from a couple of other games, like Dead Space.
Yes.
You definitely get some Dead Space vibes. It's made by Arkane, so you can't help but get, like, at least gameplay feelings from Dishonored. But I also hear a little bit from Bioshock, which, of course, makes me a little excited. Because
The just looking up the Wikipedia article, they say that Arkane built it as a spiritual sequel to System Shock.
Which
I played the second one last year and was like, wow, that's a game. If you're going to remake a game.
Mm-hmm.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Remake System Shock and make it super pretty so that everyone can play it, because holy moly. Mm-hmm. I'm actually kind of interested in this game because I don't play a lot of Bethesda games because they're just too big, too open world for me.
Yeah, exactly.
But because this takes place on a space station.
You know, it can't be too big.
Right. That's what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it'll be a little bit smaller. And hearing that it's, you know, a little bit System Shocky is kind of... that's definitely appealing. Or even like Dead Space. Man, that's a game. Okay, when I finish Saints Row 4, I need to go back. I need to play the original Dead Space.
Dead Space. Yeah, that is a very good game.
I played probably the first hour of it and loved it. Loved it.
Did you finish it though?
No.
Oh, well, then there you go. You got to finish. Oh, yeah.
Not an hour. I'm not Jefferson.
Right, I forget about that every once in a while.
Right, but I do. I need to.
Like, honestly, the other two games are pretty good too. Like, I don't think they're like it's the kind of thing where, you know, first one is the best one, and then the other two aren't bad, but
I think I have the first one on my 360 because it was one of the free games.
Yeah,
but I have all three of them on Origin on my PC.
Yeah, dang, Dead Space came out when?
Forever ago.
Yeah.
A long ass time ago.
At least 2009, I think.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was a little while ago too.
Hey, you know, me and Al, man, we're always way behind the curve.
Yeah,
on the boat before we decide whether or not we want to check something out.
Hey, you know, and I try to keep everyone... I keep on trying to get you guys to go ahead.
To be a little more forward.
Like, I'm trying to get you guys the cutting edge. That's why I want to spend money on Zero Horizon Dawn, for instance. But
speaking of being like kind of old school, I recently moved, as I was telling you guys, like a month
for
ago.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm down the street from a family video.
Yeah.
And I have not been to it yet, but I keep telling myself, because I have to drive by it to come to and from work, I'm like, I need to stop there and get my membership with Family Video so that I can, and then I'm like, well, what are you going to rent? Well,
Doctor Strange just came out on Blu-ray.
That's nice.
Everyone was talking about the Resident Evil 7 game.
Read that for a weekend
and play it and come in and go, oh my God, oh my God.
Scared.
It was so scary.
Yeah, you just come in here and it's like we have the...
Oh, Jefferson, it was so scary.
I'm entirely picturing you just coming in one day as I'm already in here voice tracking my other shows.
Just hunched over, just...
like you're shaking and you just go in the corner and we're like, you all right, buddy? You all right? Hey. Let me get this microphone and put it in the corner here.
Jefferson, it was so scary.
You all right?
I was playing a game and then the guys came out and they went, and I think my hair turned white. And it was so, I peed a little bit. It was so scary.
Yeah, I'm entirely expecting that to happen sometime.
Totally. Like, and we all know I love to be spooked.
If you do that game, yeah.
I do love a good spook. Yeah. So.
But like with Biohazard, at least, it's so immersive that...
Well, did you check out the demo at all?
I did, yeah.
And it was very Silent Hill-y, which will always be bad. That we got that
bad for your sanity.
No,
for sure,
we got that
yeah.
PT demo that was really spooky and awesome, and then they just like Konami just went,
yeah,
and they just nixed it, and
they're like, and then they cut off their own leg
with Hideo Kojima and stuff.
Of course.
Yeah. But that Resident Evil, the Biohazard, the Resident Evil 7 demo was definitely taking some cues from that PT demo. And,
and we're all right with that. We are okay with that.
Yeah. So lots of new games play.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's get back into Prey a little bit because we actually did some research
before
we did this. And we didn't know we were going to talk about this.
It doesn't come out till May.
Yeah, no, May 5th, I believe.
Yeah, so.
Well, actually, that's coming up soon, considering all of the thoughts about what it was going to be. Like, it kind of came out of nowhere. Like, it's not an original title.
I was playing something on Steam with some friends a couple of weeks ago, and somebody asked me about Prey. And I'm like, what's Prey?
Got nothing, yeah.
I got nothing. And then he explained it to me. I was like, oh.
And yeah, it's like, oh, you're starting to perk up, like I said.
Yeah. I wish you played games in the PC more.
Yeah.
I would love for you to play System Shock 2.
Yeah.
Because
I should play it too, for
sure. It's so funny how... There are people that have played it. It's a key phrase in the same way that Bioshock is for you.
Yeah.
It's a key phrase that like all you got to do is say, this game is just like
System Shock.
And then really?
Yeah.
Because that was neat.
Yeah, but Prey is interesting because like a lot of good games, it takes place in our reality, but
just
some pivotal thing happens.
Yeah.
And it branched off in a completely different direction. Like, for instance,
the Kennedy assassination. Yeah, so far,
and this,
in
this
Prey.
One, the Kennedy assassination, he survived the attempt, and he invested very heavily in the U.S. space program. So it takes place in the 60s, and it's all on a space station.
Right.
But it's also, it's a lot like Bioshock and Fallout in that it's in the past, but it's got futuristic elements because it takes place in an alternate past.
Yeah.
So it's really cool. Like,
you know what I thought was funny is that one of the features of the game that they talked about is instead of having separate levels or missions, that the whole, space station is basically like one continuous large level that you play in.
And that's always really cool.
And it at times requires you to return to areas you've previously explored. You probably don't remember when that was a big ass deal.
No, I think I do remember that, yeah.
Like the original Half-Life is the first game I clearly remember where you got to a certain point and I was like, yeah, now you got to go back. You went, wait, what? What do you mean I got to go? I don't just keep going forward. Like, no, you got to go back and flip the switch too. Oh, all right. That was like two levels ago, but okay.
Here I go. And then something changes about that too.
Yeah, because
it's different.
Because up to the point for me, that was the first game that I recognized it. But up until that point, it was a lot of playing Wolfenstein and Doom and even the Super Mario games or something like that. You're always moving forward.
Yep.
It's never a matter of and now you got to go back. So it's funny that is less or it's more commonplace now.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's still kind of neat when it happens. When it's like, okay, now you got to check on back over here.
Yeah, for sure.
No, it looks interesting. It looks, the aliens are very nondescript. They remind me, some of the stuff reminds me, some of the screenshots in here remind me of like Doom.
Yeah, I think that there's parts of Doom in there.
Because some of these
It sounds like some of the weapons that you get are really creative. Like Arkane's really good at making gameplay pieces that are unique as hell. Like you've never really seen a teleport mechanic quite like Dishonored before.
Right.
And just with the new game that came out, they got a lot more creative gameplay pieces.
Just from the first person perspective, looking at these games or these weapons, they look very very BioShocky.
Yeah. And they're supposed to look alien too. So
yeah, there's some alien guns and there's some other guns. It's funny if you Google Prey, so half the screenshots are from the new game and then half of them are from the old game.
Yeah,
and you can clearly tell the difference.
I mean, you always can, you know. Yeah. So anyway, that is Prey. That's still quite a ways in
that's
the future.
That's 2 months. Yeah, it's about 2 months away.
Yeah, and which will come up. Just like that too.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I remember like some movies that we heard a while ago.
You should be up to For Honor, I would imagine, by the time we get to it.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
You get
and
through,
Zero Horizon Dawn.
Yeah,
too.
You'll smoke through Zero Horizon Dawn in like a week.
Yeah, I don't know how long the game is yet either, but yeah. We'll see. Yeah. Anyway, you've been listening to Nerd Radio and we'll be back.
Whenever I'm about to do something, I think, would an idiot do that? And if they would, I do not do that thing.
Hope you cleared out your DVR. We're back with more Nerd Radio on Rift 2.
Oh, I've wasted my life.
Welcome back to Nerd Radio on Rift 2. Al Beck, Chuck Bean, hanging out in the studio like we do every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. And then you can listen to it as a podcast whenever you damn well please on WRIF.com. Whenever it's me and Al, you know it's comic book time, especially when you hear that sound.
Yep, that's right.
The tape on the plastic board.
The professional thing to do would have been do it away from the microphone.
No, it's way better. It's like when we talk about magic cards, we need to have a pack that we can open to kind of like give you the visual, the Pavlovian cue.
You know what that sound also means is that I brought in a comic book too.
It does, because I don't bag and board my comics because I'm bad at it. I'm bad at comics.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're going to talk about comics. We actually didn't do this last week, so I've got a book there that is from last week that I wanted to talk about.
Why don't we start
about.
With that then?
Might as well. Inhumans versus X-Men number 5. Number yes. 6 actually came out tonight. Comic store. So this event is officially over, but this is number 5. And the reason I brought it in is because up until now it's been one of those events where it's a mini series and then there's other books that cue into the mini series, but you don't need to read the other books. You can just read the mini series. And I got to this issue and went, things happened and they weren't in issue 4. Damn it. I need to go back and find issues of Inhumans and X-Men to figure out
you.
What
you
I missed.
Avoided, you avoided this book, too.
I did.
I am not buying this book. It's not going to happen. Then you caved, and now they got you for some of the tie-ins.
I know. I know, and it makes me angry.
Oh, sad day, Chuck.
Yeah. But at the same time, it also, the Inhumans vs. X-Men event has been good enough that I'm definitely going to give X-Men Blue and Gold a shot next month.
I wanted to bring that up, that I saw an advertisement while I was reading through last week's books for X-Men Blue and Gold, and I was like, I kind of want to read this, because it looks like it's got the all-new team from...
On the blue team,
yep. And then the gold team are very familiar faces.
Yeah, it's kind of like it's Old Man Logan, it's Kitty Pryde, it's Phoenix, who's going under a different name now, Rachel Gray. It's Colossus, Nightcrawler, you know, it's all your faves from the 70s
and
80s
Storm?
Run.
I can't remember.
I believe Storm is in there as
Storm
well.
Too,
yeah. And Kitty Pryde's supposed to be leading the team this time.
Oh, cool.
Which is funny, because I think out of all the people on that team, save maybe Colossus, she's the only one that's never led a team.
Oh, really?
Like Nightcrawler's led a team, Storm's led, Wolverine's led the team at one point, so... But I'm going to give those a shot. And
the thing that's potentially stopping me is they're bi-weekly and there's 2 issues. So it's 4 issues a month.
Yeah. And that's something I was going to say. The new previews came out last week, which we got to see stuff that's going to be coming out in May. And that's one of the things I noticed is that as Marvel's relaunching stuff like the X-Men books, They're going to try and go head to head with DC. Okay, you want to put out two books? You want to put out a book every other week? We can try that too. And I'm real interested to see if it works. I'm real interested to see, just like with the DC books, like how long can you maintain that?
I think it's interesting right now that DC keeps making moves that Marvel is following.
Yeah.
I remember there was an interview that Kevin Smith did with Stan Lee, and I watched it. I think they even did it at the Jay and Silent Bob Secret Stash years ago.
Yeah.
The store that Kevin Smith owns. And Stan Lee was telling the story about how, back when he was like the head editor, he was like running Marvel essentially.
Right.
Their offices were right across the street from DC's.
Yep.
And the Marvel sales were through the roof and DC just couldn't quite do it. He kind of noticed that things that little superficial changes that he would make, DC would follow suit. So just for fun, he would be like, okay, for the next 2 months, every cover must have a speech bubble on it. And then they would do it, and they would sell. And so all of a sudden, speech bubbles would start showing up on DC covers. And they go, okay, for the next 3 months, no speech bubbles on any of our covers on Marvel. And they would just watch whatever the little stupid thing they would do.
Right.
DC would follow suit. It was just to mess with them across the street. I think that's hilarious.
That is funny. But also coming in May, we've got they're rebooting the Guardians line just in time for the movie. The end of Brian Michael Bendis' yeah. run on Guardians is in April. So in May, they're restarting the line with all new Guardians of the Galaxy. And that looks like it's going to be twice a month. They're doing a new Groot book and a new Rocket book, which is stupid because the new Rocket book will be on issue 4 by the time they relaunch it. So,
oh, really?
Oh, boy. Yeehaw. You guys can't even give it a year. You jerks.
Yeah.
Secret Empire, the next event starts in May, and that's looks like it's shipping. It's a 9-issue event, and it's shipping 3 books a month.
Okay.
They've got 3 different artists on it, so you get a different artist every 3rd book.
Okay.
And that's Captain America as the Hydra agent making his move.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And that the whole Marvel universe will now finally know that he's Agent Hydra.
I'm curious to see the Steve Rogers in Hydra storyline.
Yeah.
I ended up ordering the first trade of the Steve Rogers Captain America book, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, for sure. It's another Marvel event. I want to see where they take it, and I want to see what kind of hints they drop near the end of it, like they always do, that will lead into an event a year down the road.
Yeah.
And on the Image side of stuff, I actually have the magazine here. They're bringing back Youngblood.
Okay.
With a totally different creative team. Rob Liefeld's not attached to it other than the fact that, you know, it's his property. And have you been picking these up, these Image Plus magazines?
I have not, no.
They've got these, The Origin of Negan by Kirkman and Adler, The Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In here. But there's a character in here, if you look at here, that uses a crossbow and wears a vest and has some tattoos on his arm.
Oh.
His name is Dwight. But he very, very much looks like somebody you would recognize from the show, which...
But he's not.
So if you're not picking these up, they're only like $2 a shot when they come out, and they come out with the previews every month.
You know what they did?
And I have to imagine eventually there will be a one shot that reprints all of these,
yes,
or it'll be in a trade somewhere.
They did that. I can't remember what it was, but a while ago they did something similar. I think maybe it was like in Playboy or something.
It was in Playboy. They did a Walking Dead story there.
A story there, and then they did end up releasing it as a one shot. So that's probably what I'll do with the Negan.
And the other
it was like a Michonne.
Yeah, that's what
it was. A Michonne origin. That's what that was. Yeah.
And the other interesting thing about Image, which they're doing all year because it's the 25th anniversary of the founding of Image Comics, is they're doing these 25-cent issues.
Yes.
Like Walking Dead had one. They've already done one for Outcast and for Invincible, which are all Kirkman's books. In May, it's Saga.
The
issue of Saga going to be a quarter. That'll be neat.
Nice.
Cool to see. So what did you bring in?
I brought in, and it's actually for a very simple reason, I brought in Batman number 18. They've got the I Am Bane storyline
Yeah.
Right now. The reason I brought this up is... this is a gimmick we've seen, or a trope, whatever word you decide to use, that we've all seen before. But it's just kind of neat where they do the side-by-side panels sprinkled throughout the issue of the parallels in the origin story of Batman and Bane.
Oh.
Both of them losing their parents.
Okay.
And so it's a confrontation between Batman and Bane is the main plot of this issue. But the subplot is, you know, them both as children dealing with the loss of their parents and basically how similar it started, but then they both take a turn, whereas, you know, Bruce goes home with Alfred and goes to a loving home and a nurturing home and grows up to fight crime. And, you know, Bane is basically thrown into a dungeon and learns to hate the world. And they both want vengeance, but in different ways.
Yeah. And while you're kind of going through their back history, you're watching Batman and Bane beat
there'll be a couple pages of the backstory, and then it'll be a couple pages of the current plot of them, you know, fighting, and then back to the backstory again. And it was kind of neat, and it was nice to, it was enjoyable to watch the parallels between the two characters.
And the interesting thing is the first couple of pages where they do this, where, like, you know, the first panel is Bruce Wayne and his dead parents and Commissioner Gordon saying, "Come with me, son." And then the panel next to it is Bane and some dude in prison and pulling him away from his dead mom saying, "Come on, kid." They're framed so that they're both in the same position.
Yes.
They're both in the same standing or sitting position or something like that. And it's really cool how artist did. I believe this is David Finch.
It is David Finch.
Yeah.
I like him too. I think he actually used to write and do the art for
the Dark Knight. Yeah.
And, I liked it. And,
I really like,
and they kind of show how, in a way, both of them, their training and what they become is an homage specifically not only to their parents but to their mothers.
Yeah.
Like, there's always this constant theme running through the subplot where they're speaking to their mothers and kind of dedicating what it is they're doing to them, you know.
I need to find this when it comes out in trade, because I really like what I'm seeing from David Finch and Tom King on this Batman book. I think coming off of Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo's run, I think that you would expect that it's not going to be as good as the Batman has been for the last 5 years. Yeah. I think it might even be better.
Well, I will say it's the first time in a while where I'm sitting there and reading my modest stack of currents, and I was like, oh, I'm taking this into the show. This is cool.
Yeah.
So I really liked that one.
Yeah, I like that. I may need to catch up on that. Well, the other book I brought you from last week is a book we talked about a couple of weeks ago that my buddy Kevin had let me borrow, Slapstick.
Yeah.
And the last time I talked about it, issued 1 and 2 had come out, and issue 1 set up the premise that Slapstick is a character in the Marvel Universe who is a living cartoon.
Yes.
He was in the Mercs for Money.
Yes,
at one
he
point.
Was.
So, so you have the familiarity. In issue 2, he fights what is essentially He-Man.
Okay.
In issue 3, he gets hired by these hybrid Smurf / My Little Pony type characters. He gets hired by the one female, basically the Smurfette.
Okay.
Of their clan, saying, "I'm sick of being the only female. Like, I need out. I need you to get me out of this cult. I want out." I brought this one in because I thought it was really funny. This is the anagram. What is it? Wild Dogs, I think they're called. It's basically G.I. Joe.
Okay.
he's basically like I don't think I even read the issue. I just saw the cover. I was like, oh, those are G.I. Joe, except they're all dogs.
Yeah.
This is
war
hilarious.
Dogs.
Yeah, War Dogs. That's what it was. And I was like,
America's best friend.
I was like, I got to show Al this. This is ridiculous.
That's amazing.
For one of the titles, like, they've done this with a couple of the different books. I think Deadpool was one of them where it's like, okay, let's expand the titles and do a couple of things with, like, putting Slapstick out. With the Spider-Man titles, like, let's give Prowler his own book. Let's Fool Killer's the other one that was, I think he was in Mercs for Money.
Yes.
That they gave him his own book. But they're like, let's give Prowler his own book. Let's give Solo his own book. Like, these characters that I look at and I'm like, that's not going to last a year. And I think this particular book might not last a year, but is highly entertaining.
Nice.
While it's going on right now.
Nice.
All right. So go ahead to your local comic book store. As I hit the mic here. It's the second time tonight. Go to your local comic book store. Find it at comicbooklocator.com and check out check out these books. Check out other books and hit us up on our social media at Rift2Nerds. Let us know what you're reading and what we should be reading. And don't forget, Free Comic Book Day, first week in May. So coming up.
There you
go. It's coming up real quick. Oh, by the way, speaking of comic book stuff, before I let you go, Al, I did finally sit down and watch Powerless.
Oh, yeah. Hey, what'd you think?
Oh, it's so funny. I love it. It's I
really like that show.
Yeah, it's cute and it's funny, and there's a whole bunch of... I like that Jack-O-Lantern keeps showing up in subsequent episodes. I did see the thing you're talking about where Alan Tudyk's character is like, ugh, he's muting his computer while he's on it. Jeez, just go away. I just want to do the thing. And I love Alan Tudyk's, what is it, Van Wayne? As the like one of the worst bosses of all time.
Oh yeah,
he's
yeah,
just
yeah.
So funny. Oh yeah, I see your book there as you're packing up there, Al.
Yeah.
I see your textbook, Al. You taking a class?
Well, for starters, I explained this to Chuck off the air, and he called me a nerd.
I did.
Yeah,
I just want the opportunity to do it on the air.
Yes, I am unofficially taking a class.
What's the book you got there?
It's about the solar system.
Oh.
Actually, I'll promote the, this is not an ad. I'll promote him anyway, though. But Bill Nye, the science guy.
Love him.
Me too. Beloved educator. And you know, of course, we all know him from the Science Guy show.
Yeah.
He's actually the CEO of the Planetary Society, and which is kind of dedicated to funding and education about, you know, the planets, astronomy, the sure. universe, and they actually go to Congress and things and lobby for space exploration, all that kind of stuff. So,
okay.
And again, you funds raised go towards that. And but one of the things that's really important is educating anyone. Like you can be a member of the society. You don't have to be a member to you know, visit the website, which is planetary.org.
Okay.
And so I was just kind of tooling around because I've been, you know, listening to a lot of, you know, like Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Love him too.
Love him too.
Yeah.
I've been listening to, like, you know, his Star Talk podcast and watching the Star Talk show on National Geographic, and which branched out into more science podcast. And I'm finding, like, I am super engaged with science and astronomy in particular right now.
Going through a science phase.
I am going through a science phase. And so I'm tooling around the Planetary Society website. And they can actually hook you up with an astronomy course, which is, it's like an intro to astronomy. So
okay.
it's pretty much based on the solar system, but there's other things that kind of mix in there. And the neat thing is, it's this guy, Bruce Betts, who is out of California State University, I believe.
Okay.
But they post the videos from the online class on YouTube. So you can enroll in the class and get college credit and
sure.
do all the assignment, or... You can actually sit and take the class essentially for free. And I was like, oh, that's kind of neat. I mean, like, I watch all these science shows, like,
right.
It's a guy talking about science. It's a science show. But,
so you went and bought the textbook.
I did. It was, just this one textbook that you needed. And it was, you know, usually they're like $100, $150. This was
right.
$44.
That's still,
it is still expensive, but they had like ebook versions and,
yeah.
And paperback versions that were cheaper. I wanted the hardcover.
Yeah.
I just like hardcover books. So
you want something on your bookshelf?
Yeah. And so, I've only 2 weeks into the class. I'm behind. I didn't even find out about it until it was already going on. So I'm two weeks into the class. I have the textbook, and I figure it's a
no low... comics till you finish your homework, Beck.
I was studying before we did the podcast.
Tell me something cool about the solar system.
Something cool about the solar system. Well, I think this is interesting. I actually learned this from something from Neil deGrasse Tyson, not from my class. But if you look at a planet that is not one of our own, and you wonder which pole is north, which pole is south, there is a universal way that you can decide which pole it is. So you're looking at the planetary body. Now, you can look at Earth, and you know which is north and south because it's familiar. You can just look at, okay, well, that's there's Australia, so
right.
Obviously south is close. But if you're looking at one that you can't recognize, this is what you can do. You can stick your hand out, sort of like a handshake, but
yeah.
like robotic, like a right angle. Do that.
Okay.
All right, so your thumb is pointing up, and
yep.
your palm is flat, horizontally. Vertically.
Yeah.
So your hand is flat vertically, your thumb is pointing up. Now, if you curve your finger sort of like you're holding a cup
yeah.
a little bit. All right. So you're looking at a planet with this curvature of your fingers and your thumb pointing up. If the rotation of the planet is in the direction of your fingers,
okay.
Your thumb is pointing north.
Really?
And if it's a retrograde, retrograde because it's reversed from us.
How do they figure this out?
Well, this one isn't really like a how do they figure out. It's just kind of the universal way of which side is north. It doesn't, whether it's north or south is kind of arbitrary.
Okay.
So for us to globally agree that, oh, this planet, that's the north pole of this planet. That's just kind of the universal rule of thumb. Well, here's something else. Here's a mathematical equation that this I don't know how they figure out.
Okay.
Math is not my strong suit. And this is actually something I learned from my textbook. Okay. So this is rudimentary math that took me all morning to figure out. And I was so proud of myself when I knocked it down. All right. I'll see if I can explain this properly. It's easy. I'm just, math isn't my strong suit. So that's why it might be difficult. But it's Kepler's third law. So Kepler discovered this through math that the distance a planet is from the sun, if you cube that number, okay, so to the third power.
Yes.
If you cube that number, it is equivalent to the duration of the orbital cycle of that planet. So, so there's off the top of my head, these are just a couple of numbers that I remember off the top of my head. There's a unit of measurement called an astronomical unit or an AU. That is, they're trying to look at a bigger scale of measuring things, and it's one that we can all wrap our head around. A single AU is the distance between the sun and the earth.
Okay.
Okay. So Jupiter is 5.2 AU away from the sun.
Okay.
So if you cube that number, I can't do that in my head. I could use my calculator, but
right.
If you cube that number, you get this really big number. If you take the square root of that number, it is how many Earth years it takes for Jupiter to go around the sun once, which ends up being 11.87 years.
Oh.
So again, one of those math things that Kepler figured out, like how the hell do you figure this out? And it actually turns out that Kepler's law also applies to satellites or moons, like all of Jupiter's moons.
Interesting.
The distance from Jupiter is in that through.
So
that
it doesn't
equation.
It doesn't tell you how much it takes for the planet to rotate once. It tells you how much it takes to rotate around the sun.
Yeah, the orbital cycle around the sun. Not how long it takes to rotate on its axis. It's the orbital revolution around the sun. The mean distance, because it actually everything all of the orbits are actually an ellipse. They're like they're mostly circular, but they have a slight oblong shape to them, and they move faster when they're closer to the sun.
Right.
So it's the mean distance when you average it all out.
We have called the show Nerd Radio on Riff 2 for almost 3 years now, and I don't think it's ever been more what it says on the tin than it is tonight.
I could share one more.
Okay, one more.
One more. I'll try and do this as quick as I can, because this one, there's a slight bit of irony to it. There is another equation that I actually figured out how to plug the numbers in and how to get the answer. I'm not even going to try and give that equation on the air because I'll screw it up.
Sure.
But it is the Titius-Bode law, and even this in the book is like law in quote marks.
Okay.
But it's a way to predict how far the planets are from the sun. And I don't know if this applies to other solar systems, but it works pretty closely in our solar system. So you plug in this equation, and it gives you the approximate AU distance of the planet from the sun. And most of the planets are remarkably close. Like, we're talking within decimal points of their actual measurement.
Oh, wow.
So, which is kind of neat. And it helped to find a couple things. For one, you know, when you start listing off the planet, Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter. Now, here was the problem. Jupiter was like way too far away. It didn't fit with the equation. Most of the planets did. Jupiter didn't. And they were trying to figure out, like, there was supposed to be another planet in between, according to the equation.
Okay.
And so they started looking, and you know, guess where the asteroid belt is?
Where that planet's supposed to be.
Where that planet's supposed to be. So when you do the equation, you know, that's like the fifth orbital line, and then Jupiter's the sixth, even though it's the fifth planet. And
so we're missing a planet.
Right. But the asteroid belt accounts for that. So, and again, we're talking within decimal points of accuracy of the actual distance compared to the estimated distance. Now, This is where the irony comes in. So they use this equation partially. This is partial, not the only way they found it, but partially because of this equation, this Titius-Bode law, that's how they found Neptune, the eighth planet.
Really?
So there was, you know, detecting of gravity and all that other stuff. They're like, there might be something out there. And according to this equation, it should be right there. Like, we know how far away it should be because of the Titius-Bode. And sure enough, there's Neptune. And thanks to this equation, they find it. All right. But here's what's so ironic about that. I told you how close every estimated distance right. from the real distance is. Neptune has the biggest discrepancy.
Oh, no.
All of the planets are within decimal points, within tenths, hundredths of the actual measurement.
It was like horseshoes and hand grenades. Like, we know there's something out there, and now we found it, and it's not where we thought it was going to be.
If you plug Neptune into that equation, it tells you that it should be 38.8 AUs away from the sun.
Uh-huh.
The actual distance is 30.2 AUs.
Oh, Jesus.
It is off by 8.5 distances between the sun and the earth from where it should be. And the irony is, that's the planet we found with the stupid equation, the one that does not really listen to it.
Oh, Jesus.
So there you go. There's a little tiny bit of...
space facts.
Space facts.
This with Albeck.
Physics with an idiot on Nerd Radio.
You are going to make the best Starfleet Academy.
yeah, right.
Starfleet officer. All right. We'll come back next week with more space facts with Albeck, more comic books as well, and more video games. It's Nerd Radio on Rift 2.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Weekend.
See you later,
thank
nerds.
You. And we're out. We're back with Nerd Radio.
I'm
right.
Sorry,
I knew it.
I know you knew it because you were waiting.
Son of a bitch.
You waited. You're like, here's another.
I was trying to let you get it out of your system.
There is no such thing.
Nope. You live for it.
I really do. I excel it.
We're back with Nerd Radio here on Rift 2.
Wednesday night. You can't silence me.
I'll show you. Mother,
come out. Okay.
You've been listening to the Nerd Radio on Rift 2 podcast. Each week, the podcast can be found on our website, wrif.com, and on iTunes at Nerd Radio on Rift 2. The show airs live Wednesday nights on your HD radio at 101.1 FM HD Radio 2 and features live music not heard during the podcast. Contact us at Rift2Nerds on Facebook and Twitter and email the show at Rift2Nerds@gmail.com. And thank you for listening to the Nerd Radio on Rift 2 podcast.